Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. The title of the message today is Reason for the Season. How many know what the reason for the season is? Amen. Hallelujah. I've heard it said a lot of times that Jesus is the reason for the season. And He is. His birthday, what we celebrate His birthday, is the reason for the season. But really, the reason for the season was because God loves the world. How many know that? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would have everlasting life. That's the reason for the season. God was in the world, redeeming the world, buying it back to Him, so that you could have a clear path into the throne room of God. Isn't that good? You're not blocked out. If you believe that Christ died for your sins, you have clear access to the throne of God. Do you know that? God's always wanted you to have clear access. So He sent His Son to pay for your sins. Man, I'm starting out with a salvation message already. Come on. He sent His Son to pay for your sins so that you might have life. And that life is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, man, I felt that. It's good to feel things. I mean, you know, we don't go on feelings in the church, but man, it's good to feel the power of the Word of God coming. Is that right? I love it, man. Ain't nothing like it. Hallelujah. It's like a drug. I don't do drugs. I never have, but but it is. It's like, ooh, give me some more of that. Amen? Hallelujah. I love it, man. Glory to God. Luke chapter 1. Verses 26 through 30, I think it's 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent out from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Everybody say Jesus. What's the name of his son? Jesus. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" That's a good answer, wouldn't you say? She was a virgin, is that right? That's what the word of God says, that Gabriel was sent to a virgin in Nazareth. He said, "How is this going to be? I don't know anybody. I haven't been with a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Is that right? Everybody say the Son of God. And what's his name? Jesus. Hallelujah. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Is that correct? With God, nothing is impossible. Is that right? Look at your neighbor and say, "With God, nothing's impossible." Hallelujah. Now you look at your other neighbor and say, "With God, nothing is impossible." Absolutely. How many believe that with God, nothing's impossible? I just believe it. Hallelujah. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her." Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool story? Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Mm-mm-mm. I need a teenager. Are you in your teens? No? Hallelujah. Come on, man. A girl teenager, I should say. I need a young lady. Teenager? Come on, give me a hand for somebody that will help me out here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? How old? Are you a teenager? Close enough. Come on. Come up here. You're kind of used to standing in front of folks anyway. Come on. So we're going to say that I like this story because I caught something in it. And what Mary's standing there and she, who knows what she's doing. Play like you're doing something here. Use this. It looks better. Yeah. Yeah. She, there you go. She's texting. Mary's texting. Texting away, going, and all of a sudden this angel shows up and says, "Hail Mary." You know, and I don't think it was one of these, "Hail Mary." How does it say it? Let me just read this. To a virgin, and he said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. Thou art, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women." This is the way the angel comes up. And I don't think it was just, "Hey, you're highly favored." I think this angel was excited. How many know that? I believe this angel had, man, he goes, "God, I get to give the message? God, you're kidding me. I get to go? Where'd you say to go? Bethlehem? No, Nazareth. Okay, I'll go, man. I'm headed to Bethlehem. No, Gabriel, Nazareth. Got it." And he shows up. "Hail Mary, thou art highly favored. Hallelujah." And she's looking and she's going, "Man, wait a minute. What kind of salutation is that? Is that what it says?" She said in her mind, it says she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. You can sit down now. Let's go. Thank you. Everybody give her, tell her thanks. I really do believe that angel was overexcited. Because when you look at it, if you go through the scriptures, you're going to see, I think he calmed down. Because he starts again. Here he starts out, he goes, "To a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women." And then when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this was. And then verse 30, it starts again. And the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor." Two times he had to tell her, "Look, you found favor. God has placed his favor upon you. You are going to be the mother of his son." Isn't that cool? Beautiful. I think it's a beautiful story. I think, folks, how many of you believe the angels get excited? I believe it. I believe they get all fired up. I think this guy was all fired up. I can picture him going, "Yeah, I get to announce this very, very important message." And so when he shows up, I think he was excited. I think the angels are excited about when they see you do things. Can you say that? Because the Bible says that they encamp around those that love the Lord. Is that right? They're all around you. The Bible says that they are ministering spirits sent by God to help you. Is that right? That's cool. So I think when they see you doing things that are godly and according, I think they get excited. I think, I don't know, but I believe, hallelujah, that they also watch over and protect you, even when you don't know him. I can remember times when I was doing things that I shouldn't have been doing. I didn't know the Lord. See, the Bible says, the Word of God says that he loved you before you even knew him. He died for your sins. Isn't that cool? It's a beautiful message that baby that was born that night would die for your sins, every one of them, and would wash you and cleanse. Because look at the message. This is the message that he tells her. "He shall be great." This is verse 32. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign. Is that everybody say reign? Reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Isn't that cool? Ooh, man. Do you know that you are in a never-ending kingdom? Do you know that? Isn't that good to know? Hallelujah. Kingdoms in this world will rise and they'll fall, but nevertheless, the kingdom you are in is an everlasting kingdom that will never, ever fail. Isn't that cool? Woo, God, man, there's so much that we don't know about what's going on, but I'll tell you, God gives us little glimpses, and this everlasting kingdom you're in, hallelujah, belongs to you. It's yours. You are a person. You are a son or a daughter of God. Hallelujah. If you have given Jesus Christ, if you'd given him access to your heart. Isn't that cool? I love it. Man, I love preaching like this, telling you about the love of God and how much he does care for and how much he loves you and how the angels get excited about you. Say, me? Yeah, you. They get excited about you. God gets excited about you. Hallelujah. I want to compare this to Isaiah chapter 9. So let's move to Isaiah chapter 9 and compare what Isaiah, I don't know if you know this, is the name Isaiah means God is salvation. Do you know that? And I love this. This book was probably written almost 700, I think I wrote it down, 760 B.C. before Jesus came. This prophet began to speak and to write these things. And in Isaiah 9, I love this. I'm going to start at verse 2. He says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. How many of you guys like Christmas lights? How many of you guys drive around to go see Christmas lights? Yeah. I like looking at all the lights. You know what's kind of neat? When you go down Old Nogales Highway going towards Quail Creek, there's a few houses there that they have really done some nice work out in front, man. And if you get a chance to ride by there at night, don't do it in the day. It's not. The effect isn't the same. Yeah, come on, man. But drive by there and take a look at the lights, you know, and see how, you know. And maybe it could give us maybe a little glimpse of in our mind how the Bible says here that the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know that God has given us great light in the world today. Jesus is his name, the light of the world. He's given us a great light. But I want you to look at this. It says, verse 3 says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Their joy before thee, they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Thou hast multiplied the nation, but has not increased the joy. I was shopping. How many of you guys have been shopping so far? Anybody got your shopping done? I hope you only got a couple of days left. I thought the Lord wants me to warn, to remind you that you got only a couple of days, only two more shopping days left till Christmas. One more shopping day left till Christmas. See, show you how in tune I am with that. Hey, listen, I was shopping, and as I was walking out, I was walking behind this family that they were having such a good time talking. They had whole bunch of gifts and they actually ended up, they were sitting parked right next to where I was parked. So I was kind of waiting for them to load up and get in and so that I could move in. So I'm just standing there and they're talking, and the gentleman turned around and he looks at me and goes, happy holidays. And I said, yeah. I go, hey, Merry Christmas. And he didn't say anything to that. He just kind of got in his vehicle. And as they were backing up, there was a sticker on their bumper. And it said, Mary and the Christ was there, Christmas, but the Christ had a big X over it. Wow. And when I saw that, I go, hey, come back here. No, I didn't say that. I, you know, I mean, And it was fun. It was strange to me. It was, you know, we folks, can I tell you, there's a lot of people celebrating Christmas. I've got no idea what's going on. Got no idea at all of what Christ has done for them. And it reminded me of this scripture right here. Because this scripture says something, and I'm going to show you this because I'm not trying to push any translation. Please just don't. I read the King James because I love it. I love the King James. I like the old thous and these. I like all that stuff. For some reason, to me, it feels holier than I am. I don't know, whatever. I just like the King James. I really do. But this is one area that I'm going to show you this. Verse 3 says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation," and says, and it says this, "and has and not increased the joy." You understand what that's saying? Man, there's more and more and more people, but there's no joy. There is no joy. I'm going to tell you something that I found years ago, and I felt this as soon as I saw that X on that Christ, and they were driving away, and I had no idea, and I realized why when he said, "Happy Holidays," and I said, "Merry Christmas," he didn't say anything. If I would have seen that before, I would say, "It's not a holiday, it's a holy day." Come on, man. But I got a little fired up, and it reminded me of this scripture. I will tell you, this is the King James Version, and this is the only version that you're going to find that says, "has not increased the joy." Every other version that you look at is going to say, "and you have increased the joy." But the King James Version, and listen, I'm not pushing the King James Version to you. I'm just telling you, because a long time ago, how many of you have been in an argument? "Well, this version is better than that version. How many have that version? That version?" How many have ever been in one of those, not arguments, but just one of those discussions? But I'm going to tell you something. It's not the version. It's not the translation or it's the translator. Is that right? What's important is the translation. You see in Colossians, it says we have been translated into the kingdom of God. Translated by what? By the Holy Ghost. Him showing his word to you and translating it. So listen, I'm not trying to push the King James and everything, but I do like the King James in this instance. Because of the fact of the matter is, there is an increase of the people on this planet. And that joy hasn't increased with it. How many know that? Hallelujah. How many know that the joy that we experience in the kingdom of God is a lot different than the joy that other people, that people don't know the Lord? How many of you know that? Do you know it? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Is that right? Can you put up that scripture? It says this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. It's the back end of that scripture. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Word of God says there's one place to get joy. How many of you know that? Can you put up Psalms? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And there's one place to get joy, and it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." And then he says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." In thy presence is fullness of joy. How many found that out? I have found even in the worst times, and I've been in some bad places. I've been in a place where I couldn't see how it was going to work out. Because I felt like I failed God. How many of you ever felt like you failed God? Anybody in the house, if you've ever felt like you failed God, you know it's a hard place to be at. And I felt like I had failed God, and so much so that I couldn't even go to work that day. My heart was broken because of something that I had done. And I felt like I failed God. Rosie asked me that morning, she goes, "Aren't you going to go to work?" I said, "I can't. Something is, I mean, I'm busted." How many of you ever felt like that? I'm broken, man. I don't know what to do. I had no joy. I had lost everything because of an action. And when Rosie left, I was laying and I was crying. I was weeping on the bed and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And guess who shows up? The Holy Spirit. Guess what? He says, Henry, turn. Because I kept telling him, Lord, I failed you. He says, Henry, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I did. And there I found this. The Bible says, the Word of God says this, love never fails. The reason I didn't do what the Lord had asked me to do was because I loved the person that was helping us, and I didn't speak the things that God had told me to speak. And so there, when I found out what was going on, I shut down and I said, Lord, I will not say what you said. And he said, and that was it. I felt anointing leave me, and that was it. I couldn't. And after that, that's when the next day I was in my bed talking to the Lord about it. And he said, love never fails, Henry. And I realized I was in the presence of God, and God was ministering to me, and that was probably the best place I could be. I know it was, because in that time, he refilled me with a joy. In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. I was at the mall, and they were playing music. Ba, 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 ba. They play the music, but they won't say the words. But I was going by a shoe store, and there was an old guy out there. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Boy, he's singing at top, almost as loud as he could. I felt like stopping there and just singing it with him. I looked at him and said, come on, brother, sing it loud. And he said, yeah. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And I felt that joy. Do you know what I'm talking about? There is a joy that is so different than what the world celebrates, a joy. They rejoice because they, like in this scripture, I'm going to read it. Let's go to it again. Verse 3, it says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before you according to joy and harvest, because they got something. According to joy and harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. They're happy because they won, because they got stuff. Is that right? Folks, I hope you're not full of joy just because you're going to get something. Is that okay? You know, it's okay for kids. Come on. But your joy should be in the gift giving and in the gift giver, Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And he says this. Verse 4 says, thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. I love these scriptures. Because I'm going to tell you something. These scriptures are talking about Jesus. The joy that comes with Jesus. You've increased the nation, but you haven't increased the joy. There is a joy that comes in knowing what Christ has done for you. Is that correct? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, is what the Word of God says. Man, I'll tell you what. He's broken the rod of your oppressor. Is that right, John? How many know that Jesus breaks chains and breaks the yoke off of folks? Do you know that? Hallelujah. I'm not the only one, but there's a few drunks that used to be drunks in this house. Amen? Come on. I was a drunk. I was alcoholic, I would say, pretty much. I was every day. And my wife, I was driving her nuts. Hallelujah. She was a drunk's wife. And the day that I gave my heart to the Lord, he broke that thing. It wasn't no 10-step thing, man. It was the Holy Ghost infilling me, and he broke it. Hallelujah. Thank God for what he does. With God, all things are possible. Is that right? Hallelujah. You can go to 40-step thing and still not get delivered. Is that right? 900 steps. Yeah. God breaks it. When he breaks it, it's busted. Hallelujah. The day I gave my heart to the Lord, I went home. I was hungover when I gave my heart to the Lord. And when I come out of there, I felt the glory of God. I felt the presence of God. Something came out of my mouth, was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I felt this warmth, felt like honey pour all over me. And I'm crying in at work. At lunchtime, I went down. My boss had told me, don't you go up in that mill. Don't you run it. Because he knew I was drunk. I was still hungover. He knew it. And he goes, you don't run a piece of equipment. You don't get in a crane. You go find a place to hide. That's the way my supervisor was. Can't do that anymore. Is that right, Dan? Can't do that anymore. Come on, man. And when I hid, I went into a vault. And there was a man in there that was a preacher. And he led me to the Lord. And I gave my heart to the Lord. And in an instant, folks, boom, I was a changed man. I got home. The night before I got home, I was drunk, and my mom told me, I told your wife to divorce you. Too drunk to know anything. But the next day, those words were bothering me. But when I got home the next day, I told, walk in the house, I'm all full of joy. Rosie, I quit drinking. She looked at me, she said, shut up. Oh, yeah, that's right, she's mad. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Praise God, I was rejoicing. I didn't know how it worked, but I knew something had broke. The King had come into my heart to live. And it's never changed. It's grown stronger and stronger and stronger. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank God for what He can do. Amen. I'm going to tell you, if there's anybody in that position, He breaks it. The moment you give your whole heart to Him, so that's it. I'm going to turn it over to you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Hallelujah. So it says that he breaks the rod of the oppressor. Verse 5 says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. That's most of the time every battle, but there's a different battle going on when God's talking, when Jesus is taking care of you. There's a different battle going on. It says this, but this shall be with burning and a fuel of fire. I like that. Burning and a fuel of fire. And then he says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. How many of you have found God is wonderful? He's so wonderful. I can't even describe how. Wonderful is kind of a weird word to describe, and I don't even know how to describe it. But He is wonderful. Hallelujah. When I was walking through that mill, saying King of Kings and Lord of Lords, something wonderful was happening, and I didn't know. I didn't get it. Just hard to explain. But it was happening. Yeah, He's wonderful. He's a counselor. How many of you found that He's a good counselor? Can I tell you, man, there's a lot of people got a lot of advice for you. Is that right? Everybody's going to give you advice. But you know what? He is a counselor. It's good that you go to Him for counsel. Is that okay? I'm going to tell you that. Go to Him for counsel and watch what He says to you. Allow your heart to be changed and you watch what He does. It's just crazy. He is a good counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. What? This is a son that was born, that was given. He'll be called the Everlasting. That's right. You see, because you cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You cannot separate. You might try, but you can't. They are three in one. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son. And hallelujah. Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth, even forever. And then he says this, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Is that what it says? Is that what that says? The zeal of the Lord shall perform this. Do you know the zeal? The word zeal is zeal. Z-E-O, that's the Greek word for zeal. And it is translated burning. Remember how it said earlier, this is burning? It says in verse 5, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. It is a zeal that comes out of the kingdom of God that does the work. Is that okay? Is that cool? Can I tell you just something? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. How many of you know that? I'm going to say that one more time. How many of you know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? Hallelujah. What business do you have fighting a battle for the kingdom of God? Come on, I'm going to tell you something. Spend time in the presence of God and let the peace of God envelop you. And you're going to find that those battles, where the Word of God says, for the battle is the Lord's. It really is. Really, 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 really is. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. You can call yourself, well, I'm a prayer warrior. God says, just spend time in my presence and watch how things around you begin to change, because he is the Prince of Peace. Ooh, man, let me tell you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of where Gabriel was talking to Mary, and this is, like I say, this is like 760 years before, and then when Gabriel goes to talk to Mary, Gabriel says, he shall be great, and Isaiah says, the government shall be on his shoulders, he's wonderful, and he's a counselor. Gabriel said, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and Isaiah says, his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Gabriel says, the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. And Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. You see, the Word of God always confirms the Word of God. Always does. Will always, always, always confirm the Word of God. So what's the reason for the season? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Is that all right? This is our power verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says this. Well, that's okay, I'll just go with 11. Verse 11 says this, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What was born in the city of David? Say that again. What was born in the city of David? A Savior. And his name is what?
Jesus.
Christ the Lord. You see, you can't be a savior if you don't want to get saved. Is that right? You think you can do it on your own? You don't need a savior. You need a hammer. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding you. Listen, in order for him to be a savior, you have to accept him as your savior. Do you hear me? For God so loved the world, you. He loves each and every one of us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. He loves us so much. The reason of the season is not so much Jesus' birth, but the reason of the season is that God sent his Son into the world to redeem the world, to bring it back to him. And his name is Jesus. Christ. The light is still shining. Do you know that millions of people who celebrate Christmas reject the message of the Savior? And I want you to give you, this is not just the message of the Savior. How many know that? 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 12 says this. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Is that correct? God's witness is better. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son, that he that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12 says, he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. The message is clear. Without Jesus, you don't have life. And some of you, some might be somebody in here, well, I live, I'm alive. But there is a day coming, folks, there is a day coming where God is going to say, it's time to give an account of your life. It's a real day. It's happening. It's going to come. And I kind of feel sorry for that. I really do wish I would have seen that bumper sticker before they left, because I might have been able to say something to them. But I think it was something that God was doing to my heart for this morning service. Can I just say this to you? The Bible says this, that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, he's going to reap. The Bible says this, the wages of sin is death. Death. Death is sin, is in the scriptures, is the same thing as hell. Just like life is the same thing as heaven. And God is speaking to somebody this morning and saying, now's the time to come. Could we all stand? The reason for the season, the reason for this season, is that God wants to capture your attention so that he can draw you into the kingdom of God. There's somebody in the house that has never given their heart to the Lord. You saw all the scriptures. You saw that he that has the Lord has life, but he that does not have the Lord has not life. The reason for the season, every year, is to draw people into the kingdom of God. As we go through this time, hallelujah, I'm going to ask you that you would keep an eye out and watch for folks just like this family that I watched walk away, drive away with that weird bumper sticker on their car. Christians, watch for that. Be willing to move into a place where God says, man, if you'll open your mouth, I will fill it. Be willing to move into that place. But this morning, my heart is going out to those that don't know the Lord. And the greatness of this great kingdom is greater than you ever expected, than you ever know. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that captures your heart, is something that is unexplainable, and yet it comes in and it takes care of everything that's going on around you. And the joy that comes from knowing the Lord is so valuable. And these things were paid for by our Savior when he went to the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He died to bring these things to you so that no one would be lost. So I'm asking this morning, if you don't know Jesus, speak these words. Accept him into your life this morning. Allow him to be your Lord and Savior. And you watch. Watch what he does with your life. Everyone bow your heads. Say this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I have sinned. Lord, I believe that you died for me. Paid for my sins. And after you paid, you were raised from the dead. you ascended on high and you sit at the right hand of your Father. Lord, forgive me. Wash my sins away. I receive you into my heart. I receive you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done for me. In Jesus' name I pray. If you said that prayer this morning, know this. And yet with all your heart you spoke that, know this. God heard you. And you're saved this morning. But I want to pray one more time. And this is to us Christians. How you? You guys okay with that? Let's pray one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Father, for what you've done in my life so far. Lord, help me to be who you want me to be in this earth. Lead me and guide me. Watch over my heart, my actions, my mouth, my thoughts. Let them be what pleases you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray this morning. Amen. If you said that prayer, know that, and you meant it with your heart, you know this, that God heard you. I'm going to release you.